Welcome to episode 14 of the First Love Club. Well, Corey, I guess everyone realizes we did not have a show last week, right?
Indeed. We were incognito.
Right. And the reason is because I had laryngitis. And
boo.
I know. I had laryngitis a few years ago, and I lost my voice for a full 6 days. Nothing would come out.
That killed you.
So when it happened this time, I was really scared. I was like, oh no, how long is it going to last?
But it was for a good reason.
Right.
You were like,
right. So I was in Texas to host a Scrap Gals retreat, which is my other podcast. And we had 30 people there and we had the best time. It was in the Dallas area, but I laughed and screamed and just hollered at people down the street. I mean, we walked up and down Grapevine, Texas, and went all these little boutiques. There's a funeral home there that has event space. That was weird. We had the best time. And I was like, what are y'all doing? Hollering down the road. And then by Sunday, so it was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. By Sunday, I could not get anything out. And I had to teach a class. So I went into the business center and wrote out my entire speech, my class, and my business partner, my co-host on the Scrap Gals, Tiffany, she stood there and said everything, and it was just hilarious. So when I came home, I had to not speak. I had to be on voice rest because I had to sing somewhere this past weekend. So we want to let everybody know that's why we didn't have a show, and we apologize that we left you hanging, but that's it.
That's it. That's all she wrote. But I would like to go back to this image I have now in my head of a bunch of middle-aged women hooting and hollering at cars.
I know. Well, we met in Grapevine, Texas. There's this cute little downtown area. And then what's so funny is we wanted to get a group picture. And none of us did, you know, wanted to not be in the picture. One of the girls says, okay, I'm really good at Photoshop, so we can take a group picture, and then I'll just stand on the side, and then after we take the group picture, or she was going to take the picture, she said, y'all can all move, and I'll stand in the spot I would have stood in, and then I can Photoshop myself in.
That is brilliant.
I know. So she was going to do it, but thankfully, down the street comes this little lady, and I said, ma'am, could you take our picture? And so, thankfully, she did.
So you were saved.
Yeah. Anyway, so I just had too much fun. But it's funny because, you know, you expect to do all the things that you need to do while you're hosting an event. And I never thought to myself, what if I didn't have a voice?
What if I couldn't speak
to
everybody?
And so I didn't plan for that. But then actually, I kind of squeaked out some of my class. I was determined to get it out. Because, you know, when you're teaching a class, you can't possibly tell someone else everything you were going to say. But anyway, that went well. We had a lot of fun. So speaking of events, you have had some events and have some coming up. Don't you have one coming up in North Carolina?
I do have one coming up. So one of the things I was trying to accomplish, because I got so much positive feedback about doing Camp Reset last year, which was an online virtual self-care camp retreat for grownups. You know, so all of us ladies were just, we just had such a wonderful time. I was doing like actual activities where, you know, you'd be guided on doing a nature walk or rock painting or making little snacks that were healthy, just really spending like 4 straight weeks focused on self-care and doing good things for yourself and just kind of like really immersing yourself in your imagination. And I thought, like, wouldn't it be wonderful to try to bring that kind of camp experience to, you know, into real life. And so, one of the areas that I seem to have a lot of, community members that were really interested in having a retreat is in, the South Carolina, North Carolina area. So, me and Crafty Destinations, partnered up again, 'cause she's my girl. We are having this, Faithful Girl camp retreat. And it's in, I think it's a town called Kannapolis in North Carolina, which is outside of Charlotte. And it's going to be in September. we have, if you go to the website, if you go to theresetgirl.com, you can go to our calendar or the events page and you will see the listing for it. And it will take you right to more information, all the good stuff. I'm really hoping to get like, you know, I would love to have like 50 women at this retreat, and we're going to be staying in cabins and a lodge. So it's going to feel like you are really going back to camp.
This is so fun. Tell me what all you're going to do while you're there.
So it's a Faithful Girl retreat, which is going to feature, I'm probably going to be teaching it for maybe the last time because I'm going to be revamping it, but my Faithful Girl Planner Workshop, which has been my sort of signature workshop for the last few years. It's so near and dear to my heart. It's my favorite workshop to teach. And it's just focused on helping women build a faithful planner, something you would use during your quiet time. And I tried to like think of everything. So you would literally be able to just kind of work your way through the planner, through each section during your quiet time, doing your prayers, doing journaling, scripture writing, the whole nine yards you'd have all in this A5 planner. So I kind of wanted to broaden it a bit more this time around. So when I do my retreats, I like to do like two workshops. So I do the Faithful Girl one in the morning, and then I do another Faithful kind of mystery workshop in the afternoon. The last one was so fun. We did a Faithful Crafty Commonplace book.
My favorite.
If you go to YouTube and look for The Reset Girl, I have a Crafty Commonplace book video where I walk you through this super, super simple way of just using up your stash and combining it with like making a treasury of quotes and scripture and like fun things that you just want to record. It doesn't necessarily have to be like a journal, but it's just a place to just gather all those like fun thoughts and memes, things you think are funny, just kind of putting them all together in a book. It's sort of like getting to be 12 again, and you're just cutting and pasting and putting all this into a notebook. And it could just be a simple, super simple notebook. Anyway, we did a faithful version of that, marrying it with my scripture writing challenge that I do every month. Mm-hmm. So it was so much fun. I made all of the kits myself, and I like bought tons of vintage ephemera, and me and Mr. Crafty were just tearing apart hymnals and dictionary pages. And we were just putting these packs of paper and ephemera and stickers together so that girls could just sit there and chat. I try to put together some easy crafts so that you have visiting time, you can fellowship and listen to music. And so, Tracy, I am just really into this whole workshop thing. I can't believe, as introverted as I am, that I am really feeling more and more like emboldened. I just feel like God has just given me such a heart for giving women these experiences. And I know that Paula of Crafty Destinations, that is her heart too. That is the whole purpose of her business. So it makes us very much a dynamic duo coming together and doing these events. So that's something I really enjoyed doing. And I am really looking forward to you and I doing more of the first Love Club retreats. We had our first one in Tennessee, which was so fun, except for the fact that you had to go dash off and make chili.
Yeah, I won't be doing that again. But that was fun. Actually, I didn't mind making the chili. I thought it turned out well. Everybody had so much fun. I love being in a room full of people that love Jesus, women that love Jesus. Isn't that the best?
Yes. And I have, you know, that's something I haven't gotten to experience in my life. And I think that's why I'm so, like, I'm a moth to flame with it now. Mm-hmm. Now I'm like really into it. I see that there's just a lack of that for women to do, you know, to go to a retreat like that, unless it's like your church putting it on. Mm-hmm. So I kind of, it's up to us. It's up to us to recreate these experiences. And, so I have like new classes for us to do, like for me to do, like when we partner up. So I have just gotten so much inspiration in this area. And that's why I feel like God is really, I really feel like there was a reason, and I felt that for a long time, a reason for us to kind of slowly kind of whittle our business down to where the focus is more about having a personal connection with people. Mm-hmm. And I realize that not everyone can come to a live retreat, and that's going to be something I have to try to be very mindful of when I do my online workshops, is I do want women to feel a connection to what I'm saying.
Like you're accessible.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's really something important to me. And it's really hard to really bring your A game to, at least it is for me. I'm not a good multitasker, and I really want to bring these things to life in such an awesome way. And I can't do that when I'm constantly pulled back into, design mode and coming up with something that, to release every month. And I really appreciate, this kind of withdrawing into myself and really tapping into this creativity and getting to do this. And what I've discovered is that it's really retreats and workshops that has really captured my heart. It's really what I want to focus on.
Well, I think you're in a new season. You're in a season of change, and God's taking you to different directions, but it's so you. Like, everything you do just has your stamp on it, and nobody can do it like you do it. That's what I love about you the best, Corey.
Thank you.
I was thinking too, when you were talking about how there's not that many opportunities for women to come together to something like this. I don't think there are that many opportunities for women to mix faith and crafting.
No.
That's a very uncommon thing.
And people are always so surprised, when you're not with your crafty friends and you're just, out in the world, they see your crafty stuff. Mm-hmm. People are so intrigued by it. Mm-hmm. They're so like, what is that? So I have to tell you a story. I have been going to this new church in my mom's area that the one we went to on Easter, and they're going to the new followers class. My brother and sister-in-law and my mom, me and Mark, and my oldest nephew. So I wanted to go and support them, and I'll go every week. And of course, just because it's a new followers class does not mean I can't learn something. It's good to be refreshed, because some of the fundamentals of our faith, I think sometimes we sort of lose that along the way. We can forget. It's hard to explain things like sanctification and, mm-hmm. like salvation might be hard to put into words. So I'm actually kind of excited about that part, refreshing myself. But one of the things that I was doing when I was sitting there was flipping through my little Faithful Girl notebook that I have. And that's the one that I did all my filming in. Like, I was filming my note-taking when I was watching Dr. Evans. And I have all of those videos on YouTube. And one of the pastors walked by and he saw it. And he was like, "What is that?" He was so intrigued, and he wanted me to like turn the pages so he could see everything. And it opened up such a wonderful conversation. And then I could feel it. Like, I feel God telling me, go talk to the pastor after the class. And I waited, and I kept kind of biding my time. Like, is that you? Playing that game. Is that you, God? Is that me? But I'm getting more confident that when I hear stuff like that, that's God, because I don't generally think in terms of go talk to that person that you don't know. So I did. I went up to him and I introduced myself. And really what I wanted to share with him was just the fact that I'm an introvert too, because that's something he had shared with the group. Hmm. And I thought, well, that's a great conversation. I was like, hey, I'm an introvert too. And by the way, you're doing a fabulous job. You're representing as well. Mm-hmm. But I know that there's actually a very large number of introverted pastors.
Really? That's not something I would have ever thought of.
Exactly. I have been doing some research lately about introverts in the church. And that was one of the really impressive facts, is that there's a large number that are introverts. But it makes sense when you really think about it, because introverts are so good at kind of just like having that quiet time, mm-hmm. and being reflective. They're probably really good at their Bible study and listening to God, more so than the extroverted brethren. I'm just going to make that mm-hmm. kind of general statement. And so when you come up with all of this great stuff God's sharing with you and stuff that he's impressing on your heart, I know what that feels like. You want to share it with those you love. Mm-hmm. You want to tell people, look, this is what God is saying to us. You get very passionate. And when you're up there on a pulpit, you're by yourself. You're not having to make small talk and talk to many different people.
True.
You're just sharing a message, and then you head out the back door.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I can appreciate why introverts could, you know, could do that. I think that we get real passionate about topics and that makes us talk from our hearts rather than our heads. So in talking to him, he was so interested about what's the reset girl. And, you know, because that just came up in the conversation. He was asking me so many questions, really trying to get to know me. And before I knew it, I was giving him my First Love Club podcast card, you know, that that I have business cards. I try to pass those out. Anytime I talk to another, anybody, I'm just like, here's my card.
Oh, awesome. I need to get some of those for myself.
So he loved that. He wanted to see my notebook, and he was so interested and intrigued in how God had used this whole Instagram platform that I had to build something that eventually led to my Faithful Girl Planner workshop and this podcast. And he was just so amazed. And he's like, you know, I think that, you know, it could be a great thing for you to come in here and speak to the women here in the church. And I was like, holy smokes, just like that, a door opened. Mm-hmm. All because God said, I want you to go talk to him. So I hope it leads to something. I'm going to be very open-minded, whatever God, you know, really wants me to do there. But I've been thinking about that and how I really want to show more women, you know, about crafting with scripture, like we do with my monthly scripture challenge. I really want to show women how they can make scripture a big part of their day, their week, and how they can incorporate that with their kids. You know, showing their kids how they can use stickers and all that fun stuff, because no matter how old you get, stickers are fun. Mm-hmm. It's fun to put stickers down on things. So I was just really grateful that it even came up, that it was even an option, like that he even thought of me, because he was looking at me. He's like, I don't know how to explain this. He's like, but I can tell that you're just really awesome at what you do. And I was like, wow, thank you. It's so humbling to hear someone say that who doesn't know me. He doesn't know anything about what I do or my channel or nothing. And it just, like, you know, that's favor from God. That's God kind of putting that on his heart. So I am just, I hope something comes of it, because I have really wanted to get my foot in the door going into churches and speaking to women. And I can't believe those words coming out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. But who am I? But that's something I feel like God's given me, that boldness. He has given desire, where it's now become my mission. My purpose is, I really want women to experience that creativity with their faith.
Well, speaking of speaking to women, you just went on a cruise and spoke to some faith-filled women. Tell us all about that.
Gosh, Tracy, it was so awesome. So I was invited to be a speaker at a women's leadership retreat. It's Church 1910 in Burney, Texas. And the pastor's wife, Angie Brown, she invited me on to her cruise. And Paula of Crafty Destinations made all the arrangements for them. And she's also an attendee at that church. Okay. So I was invited. I was the only non-church member there. But you know what was so great is that when I spoke at the very, like, next day after we got on the ship, so people got a chance to see who I was and everything. And I just was just, my heart just runneth over at all of the love that I received and the way that women made me feel so welcome. And it felt like I was part of this church. I mm-hmm. felt so included in everything, and people were interested in getting to know me. You could really tell who the introverts and extroverts were every night when we sat at dinner. The quieter side of the table, I'd always be like, hey, introverts. But it was so much fun. And what I found that was so interesting about the experience is that it gave me, instead of feeling awkward and, like, nervous to talk to people, I thought about how we've been talking about the armor of God. And I really thought about how we put on these pieces every day of protection. But I really wanted it to be not about protecting myself, but about leading with this kind of love. And that was the theme of their retreat, was love leads. Mm. And I really took that to heart, was like, I want to lead with love. I want love to just radiate off of me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to treat all these women like we're long lost sisters and just exude love and just, you know what I mean? Like, be open to wherever that leads me. I'm going to be different than how I normally act, which is much more guarded and much more, you know, withdrawn in myself, more observant. And it was so weird, but in such a good way. And it was so rewarding. And I realized, you know, God may in his divine wisdom wired us in this kind of in interesting introverted way, but we have the ability to kind of overcome our wiring in moments to really extrovert and extrovert in a loving way, in a very positive way. And it becomes a magnet when you love on people, when you radiate like smiling and joy, when you are just overflowing with that, people are drawn to you. And that's what was happening on the ship, which has had about, I don't know, about 2,000 passengers on it. There were so many people on the ship that were like really noticing all these women walking around with their Love Leads t-shirts and wondering like, who are they? What are they doing? They would come watch us when we were playing games up on the deck. They were kind of coming up to us at like different, like little, you know how a cruise ship has got different events going on and at dinner, at lunch, people were just so interested. And so it opened up the opportunity to kind of talk to them about, you know, what we were doing on the ship and who we represent. And, you know, and I remembered our podcast when we were talking about how it's cool to be a Christian. It really felt like it was so cool to be a Christian. I felt so like honored to represent God, you know, and it is a responsibility. You can't be sitting there, you know, getting drunk and cussing up, you know, people.
You really had to work on not doing that, didn't you, Corey? Now, let me ask you this. So did your talk to them include any kind of craftiness, or was it more about your testimony, or what did you actually talk to them about?
So I kind of went into this very open-minded. I wanted God to kind of show me, like, I intended really more to talk about one thing, and God really put it on my heart, really steered me to focus on the thing I love talking most about in my Faithful Girl workshop is the God wink.
Okay, right.
Topic. And so this time when I was thinking about it, I was like, why don't I just talk about the one thing I love the most? I only had like maybe 40 minutes. So this wasn't something I could really craft anything. So I put together a quick presentation so they could visually see what it is I would normally talk to women about, showing them pictures of my scripture crafting and my planner, and just kind of like, this is kind of what I do. And then I kind of honed in and told them, but this is my heart. This is the thing I love talking about most, is I love bragging on God about the way that he communicates to us and how personal and intimate it is, because he knows every minute of our life, every hurt, every victory, every doubt, every fear we've ever held onto. God knows all of it. And so he has this wonderful way of talking to us in different ways. And I feel like sometimes he talks to me like, I feel like I'm Nancy Drew putting together little clues. I feel like God kind of like puts out breadcrumbs for me sometimes, for me to like discover one after another until I realize the big picture, like, oh, this is what God is trying to get me to do. Mm-hmm. And it was so cool because I actually used you. I told the story of our whole, hey, let's have a podcast. The sequence of events, I showed that as a God wink.
Wow.
And it was so, well, it was a really awesome experience. And I don't know that we've ever, I don't know if I've ever shared that story on this, on our show.
Well, you know, one of our listeners, and she's well known in the creative industry, Suze Fish, she asked in a recent post if we could both take an episode and share our testimony. So that's something we might want to consider, and we could tell maybe how we came together as well.
So I did share it with the group, and so that they had like, as an example of one way God kind of like got me to do something I would not ordinarily have done. Often how he works, isn't it?
I'm thinking that some of them found it hard to believe that you consider yourself an introvert. Although now I do agree that you're an introvert, but you extrovert very well. So,
you know, a lot of us do, and that's why we're so tricksy, is that many people are cool because of that. But it's just because I think some introverts have learned to do it well because of like a work environment.
Right, right.
And I think the more you sort of withdraw and kind of keep to yourself, I think it's harder to develop the extroverting skills. But I really see, I have really grown by leaps and bounds from what I used to be. And it's because my heart is so much to love on other women that it trumps that feeling of awkwardness, which is not to say I still don't feel awkward. I can feel awkward and weird at my own event where women have paid to come see me, and I'll still feel like, well, who should I sit with? And where is there a place for me? I'll still feel like, you know, will they let me sit with them?
Wow.
Like, it's so weird how we can be, isn't it? Like, no matter how old we get, still feel like we're in the third grade. But and I know I'm not alone in that. There's a lot of us who feel that way. You might not, because you are very confident. And I seem to know a lot of my friends tend to be very confident women, which is awesome, because I look up to you guys, you know, and I wish it kind of siphon off some of that confidence. It's really awesome. Can you teach that? Can you teach confidence?
You know, that is one of the things that I wish. I always say my tagline is, I'm strangely confident for a chubby girl.
I just crack up.
That's my tagline. And so I really do wish I could teach that, because overall, especially in my 7 years of working for my pastors at the church, I saw so many women just be bound by a lack of confidence. They were just like, it just ruled their life, their lack of confidence. And they made bad choices because of it. You know, maybe they lashed out at people sometimes. They were intimidated by other women. I've had women absolutely hate me because for no other reason than just I'm confident and happy. And they're just as, you know, they're like more attractive than me, seem more talented, but they can't find something within themselves to be confident, because it's something that so many women struggle with. I really feel like that's one of my goals in life, is to help people feel that sense of confidence, because, you know, it's like you're beautiful and wonderful, and just see yourself for how other people see you. But that, it's so hard to do. It's so hard to convey that to people and get them to accept it.
And I really feel like it's a tool of the enemy to get us
to
compare our lives, you know, to each other.
Yes.
Because, and it, which is unfortunate, because when you think about it, when we compare, we're only comparing the outside. Mm-hmm. We have no idea what that person is going through behind closed doors.
Right. Absolutely.
Their real life looks like, what they're really content with. And so when they act badly, you know, a lot of that comes from hurt, like hurting people hurt other people.
Right.
So, but it's hard to remember that when you're the one being hurt.
Right.
Which is why going to the Father is such a good plan, because he's where, you know, you are built up. And he is the one who has given you all of your gifts and talents for you to feel, you know, as if you have none. That's the source of where we draw from. That's the source of where we get our talents. And God made you the way you are. You know, not to say God builds in our faults. That's part of us. That's our flesh. That's part of just us being mired in the flesh and letting, you know, not walking in that confidence and who we are in Christ. That can be a process. You know, I really think it is. But I work on that. Like, I really try to remember that every day. I don't want to say the same, Corey. And I totally relate to what you're saying, Tracy. There's been plenty of times where I look at somebody else, especially all the years I was single. Holy cow. I wish I could have all that, that energy back, all of those years I wasted envying other women. Because it didn't get me anywhere, and all it did was make me feel miserable. So instead of focusing on my own life and making myself happy in the moment, I was always concerned about this someday that I, you know, I wanted so badly. And it's just, it's interesting how we let comparison really rob us of our joy. That's, well, it's really sad.
I was just sitting here thinking, and so maybe this is God speaking this to me, that it all comes down to our inner dialogue. And it's what we're telling ourselves that, you know, no one hears what we're saying to ourselves, only us. And yep. then I felt like God was saying, the only way you can fix that is the Bible says, renew your mind, and you renew your mind by hearing God's word. And it talks about, you know, because we have to read God's word and believe what he says about us. When we believe what he says about us, then we gain a sense of confidence that we can never have just in our own self.
Okay, so you have given me a wonderful segue. So when we were on the cruise, one of the very gifted teachers who it brought to us this message from Leif Hetland, who wrote this book called Called to Reign. Tracy, this is one of the best books I mean, the concept of it, it's one of the best Christian books I've ever read. I'm almost done, but basically it's talking about our inheritance as, you know, God's daughters, mm-hmm. sons, and that when we truly walk in that and who we are in Christ, truly walk as a daughter of God, you aren't envying your neighbor. You aren't coveting what they have. You aren't coming from a place of lack because you have everything you need. It's such a different mindset, I think, from what most Christians kind of act from. Like, if you think about it, sometimes a lot of Christians act like they're still in the world too. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say that I don't do that myself. I'm not putting myself on a pedestal that I'm different than that. I do absolutely struggle with that myself. And that's why this book was so powerful, Called to Reign. And it's written by Leif Hetland, L-E-I-F Hetland. And I will put a link in the show notes for it. I was reading it the whole time I was on the cruise. I could not put it down. I've highlighted it so much. It's like there's more highlights than non-highlights, which is always a sign of a good book. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely fabulous. One of the girls had brought a bunch of copies with her, and I was fortunate enough to get a copy. So one of the little notes on the back of the book, it says, it is your privilege as sons and daughters of God to know your identity, experience his intimacy, receive his inheritance, and walk out your destiny to reign in life with him.
Wow. Yeah, you can't walk out your purpose if you're questioning even who you are and you have no confidence in yourself.
And that was really eye-opening to me, because I think that as far back as I can remember, I feel like my whole life has been lived from this place of lack, from this place of, I don't belong. I don't fit in. Mm. Others don't like me. I feel like the spirit of rejection was just introduced so early on into my life that that's kind of like how I perceive myself, like all these years of growing up. And now here I am in my 40s having this completely different life experience where women are so, you know, that like me, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? That want to be my friend, that want to talk to me, that want to spend time around me. It's such a strange, it's just such a strange experience compared to how I've always lived my life. And I feel like this book would just set so many people free of that issue. Because even if you're saved, you still struggle. You know, and I just, if this reading this could help people struggle less, I'm so glad that I got a copy. And I just feel like so many people need to read this book. And I don't often say that like that so strongly. I've never heard of this author before. So he was new to me, but this was kind of our primary message that we had on the retreat. And it was just wonderful. It just kind of really changed my mindset, opened my eyes.
Well, how did these women react to what it is that you do? Because it's so funny to me. We're so immersed in the crafting creative world. Yes. And then when I get, you know, at church or out in the real world and talk to people about craftiness, and it's so foreign to them. So I would be curious to know, like, what did they think? Did they seem intrigued by you, or have people followed you, or what was their response?
Yes to all of the above. So I tried to focus my message on the simplicity of what I do.
Okay.
I really feel like what I like to do is I'm not trying to be this overachieving, artistic, creative. As much as I love the idea of creating, I just really love a simplistic approach. And I think that's kind of my message. I want women to feel like everything I'm showing them is approachable. And I know that, you know, you are so gracious to sit there and say, you know, I don't think you appreciate how you put things together is actually more, I don't know what's the right word.
You just have a way about, you have a gift, I think, for crafting that you don't give yourself credit for, is what you're referring to. I always tell you that.
And thank you. So if that's true, I still see it, though, as it's something that can be easily introduced and kind of like, easily replicated.
You do make it easy for us to do it the way you're doing it. You are good at that.
And that's always where I want to be. I never want to get so far ahead that I'm just this, like, I'm a person that some people would be like, oh no, I could never do what she's doing.
Right.
So I kind of like staying in that kind of like easy crafting. I want people to feel like, oh, I could do this while the kids are doing their homework and I can just sit in the family room and craft. That's always my angle when I talk to women about it, because I know how easy it is to dismiss creativity as, oh, I can't do that.
Right.
I'll never be that good. Now, part of that comes from comparison and perfectionism, but I also realized that was what held me back. So I want to always show women, like, look how easy this is what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. You can do this too. So that was my whole kind of message when it came to showing them what I've done. And I actually did have not only some followers there at the event, but some of them were customers too.
Wow.
Yeah, it was so cool. Some of the ladies actually, Luann actually, she had one of my covers on her. One of my magazine covers was so cool.
Other ladies, could you see like their faces light up like, ooh, what is this?
Oh, yes. And I gave them, I brought them stickers. So I came with goodies, of course.
Yeah.
I always think that one should show up with treats. So I brought them some stickers and just kind of focused on making them like really simple. Like, you can just do this very easily. That's why I like my note-taking style.
Mm-hmm.
Is it's really simple to do something practical and then just add a few embellishments.
Cute it up.
Yes. And I love it so much, Tracy, that I am actually committing. Me and Mr. Crafty have been working on creating this amazing sticker book that's all for note-taking and journaling. And it's just full of like little stickers that I love, so that you can kind of embellish your notes. So if like you're sitting in church and taking, you could just be whipping stickers onto the page, which I do all the time. And now it's just going to have this nice little, you know, book format to do that. So
that sounds delightful. I'm just like giddy over that already.
If that's the only kind of like creativity I can manage, it gives me such joy to look through my notes. It really does. It's such a simple little pleasure. And that's what I want to show women, because again, no matter how old you are, you have an inner 12-year-old that just gets so excited for stickers.
Mm-hmm.
Stickers are just so awesome. So that was the part I kind of like just kind of focused on, and it was just wonderful. Quite a few women that, and these are leaders, you know, in the church. These are women in leadership roles. So I was really nervous about, like, what am I going to talk to them about?
That would be very intimidating. Yeah,
it was. But focusing on God and how He speaks to us, and just not that I don't think that some of them would have had these experiences, but just to remind people how God speaks to us, and that these are not just coincidences, and you know, it's really this very personal way that He talks to us and kind of leads us along a path, depending on, you know, how He talks to you. Because I'm sure how He talks to you is different than how He talks to me, because we're wired differently.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're different people. And I think it's just lovely to remind people that these are special moments with the Lord. Like, He stops the entire world and singles you out of his 6 billion children to talk to you in that moment, to speak into your life, to do something, to move heaven and earth for you. And that should be honored. And so I feel like I'm an ambassador for this, you know, mm-hmm. talking about them. And I felt like, you know, even if this is my way to get my foot in the door and talking in churches and to talk in front of women and remind them, like, even in your busiest season that you're in, God still speaks to us in these very precious, tender ways. And they shouldn't be dismissed. They shouldn't be chalked up to coincidence. It should stop what you're doing to have, I don't know, to just have reverence that he adores you that much to speak to you that way.
It's so amazing to me to hear you talk about that, because you are really the only other person I've ever known that talks about that the same way that I feel about it. And I am so honored when I know that God has spoken to me and I feel like that I've gotten an answer about something, or he's just pointed something out to me, and I feel like that was definitely a word from God. And I, especially in 2017, when I was going through a lot with my health, really hearing from God got me through a lot of things. And so the way I think about it, you say it exactly like I think about it. I think that's one reason God has brought us together, because we have just that common message that hearing from God is everything to me. It really is. When I'm in a place in my life where I'm regularly hearing from God, it changes my entire life. So I'm so happy that that's what you are out talking to people about. It's so important. I don't hear that many people talking about it.
I'm always overwhelmed when I see a God week. Uh-huh. Like, it's just so, it's like this precious jewel that you've been handed. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, it's priceless, and nothing can take it away from you. I mean, nothing. Right. It's something that's indelibly marked on you, that God spoke to me, that he touched me. And God winks come in ways. They can be something that you heard him say. It could be a physical thing that arrived on your doorstep. That's one of, like, my most precious God wink stories is the delivery of a physical item that God sent to me.
Right.
Which sounds crazy on the surface.
Right.
But it's one of my favorite God wink stories to share. And I share it at every Faithful Girl Planner workshop. And you know, if that's what I got to talk about, Tracy, holy smokes, like, I would be in heaven. It's just like the most fun thing to brag on God.
Right. Right. You are a blessed woman.
And it's the part that, like, it makes me so sad for people who reject God. Right. It makes me so sad for atheists that they're never going to allow themselves to feel this personal connection. He's not a theory. He's not this thing that you read about in an old book. He's not this concept. He is a real God, a personal God, a father you may never have had. I mean, so many people are so broken and reject the idea of being loved. And it makes my heart break that when I see these wonderful ways that God loves on us and they reject that and will never allow themselves to feel it, it's just so sad. It's like being in a prison that the enemy has devised.
I agree completely. Well, we are almost to 45 minutes. So before we wrap this up, let me just ask you this. Did you also have a time on this cruise to rest and relax? And did you, in that time where you were just alone and being able to enjoy the cruise, hear from God?
You know, what's funny is that was actually the theme. And that's the theme of the book, is it's living and loving from a place of rest. Oh. But I was so giddy getting to hang out with women and just the women that were just so sweet and loving to me and just making me feel so included. It made me, like, want to spend more time with everyone else.
Right.
And so I can't say that I was really kind of withdrawing and doing that, which is my tendency anyway. So I really kind of wanted to just more extrovert mm-hmm. for a change. And there were some lovely moments because I made those decisions, you know, rather than sleeping in. One morning, Paul and I went to breakfast and we met the loveliest people that just happened to be sat at our table. Hmm. And it was a mother and her two adult children. And one of them, Courtney. Hey, Courtney. He was a journaler. He's a journaler.
Wow.
His sister kind of told on him. And clearly he was an introvert, but it was so awesome because I was telling him like, this, you're my people. Mm-hmm. Like I have a whole community of people that would just, you know, that you could be part of that just love journaling and writing and crafting. And so I passed out my cards, and I just want to give a shout out if you guys are listening, Miss Angela, Amber, and Courtney. But it was such a blessed experience, and all because I made myself like leave my room, yeah. You know, go out. And it ended up being a divine appointment. So there is something I feel like I've learned that instead of this place of rest, which tends to kind of be my mode in everyday life, I really wanted to have those divine appointment opportunities. Just whether it, you know, it was just telling someone, I made a point of telling the people have a blessed day. And that's something that's really common in the South. Like you guys say that all the time and don't think about it. But here on the West Coast, you never hear anyone say that. So I have become the ambassador of the have a blessed day. I've been saying it everywhere we go because I'm like, see, I know how good it makes me feel to hear it. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to start saying it. I'm not going to be worried about if I offend someone. I'm just going to say it because it's
why would that offend someone though? It's so crazy.
You haven't spent enough time out here.
Wow. Well, I'm so happy to hear that you had such a great time. I wish I could have been on there with you. Do you have any spaces left for your cruise you're doing later this year?
You know what? Paula just told me that our cruise is officially sold out at this point. Yes, just the other day. So I am so excited. I think we have like 140-ish people going.
That is crazy.
It's crazy. So one of the benefits of getting to go on that cruise was so that I could get a sense of like what it would be like, how the ship is set up and that kind of thing. So I will be all prepared to just give a great experience on my cruise in October. So I am really excited. I think people are going to love it. If you are booked on that cruise and have never been on one, there was so much I was not prepared for. There's like a very much a cruise mentality, a cruise life, if you will.
Yeah, I'm a cruise lover now myself.
Yes, I know you are. So it was different, but it was so cool because there's so much to do. Mm-hmm. That if you're not interested in that activity, there's like five other activities to do. And it's mm-hmm. just is. It's such a place where you can choose to rest and refresh. You can visit or not visit. And there's just so much to do. If I'm not entertaining enough for you, you have other things to occupy yourself. So cruising was very interesting, and I'm glad that I did it and got to do it because it really it was really fun. And it's just I feel like it's just given me a great energy, and I'm just really excited now for October.
How fun. Well, I enjoyed hearing about that. I've been dying to talk to you since you came. Of course, I couldn't talk for 5 days.
I couldn't even call you and tell you anything because I'm like, that's going to be a weird one-sided conversation.
But I really, first of all, I'm ready for you to come back to Tennessee because this you being in California is really not working for me.
Right? Not working for me either.
But I miss you. It's always great to talk to you. And I'm just so glad to hear all of that. That was great. I'm sure that everyone on the cruise enjoyed it. And as she told you earlier in the show, if you would like to spend time with Corey and hear more about her, what she has to say in her workshop, she does have the opportunity for you to be with her in North Carolina. How do they find out more about that? Just theresetgirl.com?
You go to theresetgirl.com and hit my, I have an events button at the top of my navigation, and you just click on that. It'll take you right there to what I have available right now. And you can click that button and sign up, get more information and sign up to come because we would love to have you.
Well, thanks so much for listening, everyone. And we will be back to our series about the armor of God next week. Hey. What is the next piece of armor coming up, Corey?
We are going to be talking about the helmet of salvation.
Yes. So we hope that you will tune in and listen to that. Until then, have a great week and thanks for joining us.
Bye, everybody.